Welcome to Girls Like Us, the podcast that asks the question again and again, what does a degree in literature get you? With the answer, a podcast about books for children. I'm Franny. I'm with Sophie. Sophie's doing a little magic trick for me where she has like a glass mug, like a see-through glass. That's like my grandma type beat mug.
Oh, wow. So we're recording our last episode and
we're already ending our relationship right now.
Made fun of and roasted.
Yeah, last episode-ish.
This is a cocktail mug that I got for hot cocktails. But right now, I wanted a visual difference between... I'm drinking coffee and tea at the same time. So I wanted a visual difference between the two of them. So I put one in the cocktail mug. I make hot toddies in here. And then the other in a... just conventional coffee cup. So before you make fun of me,
after we end this recording, I'm going to be making a pumpkin syrup for a cocktail. And this pumpkin, this recipe for this cocktail, I actually found on a shopping page for a candle for, you know, the brand Sniff.
Oh God.
Sniff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a candle with Half Baked Harvest, who is this girl? Mm-hmm,
which is...
Yeah.
Oh, if you listen to this podcast, you know who Half-Baked Harvest is.
But anyway, she has a recipe for like a whiskey pumpkin drink on that. So I'll be whipping that up. But I was pissed today because when I went to pick up the puree for it, I had to buy the puree and I had to buy tampons. And then I had to get like 3 prescriptions. And I could just tell that the pharmacist, if I said, can I check these out here? Because, you know, sometimes if you have one item, I could tell she was going to say no. So I didn't even ask. I was so scared of her this morning.
See, the funny thing about, you know, this is a good part about living in Ohio, is that the pharmacists here are like, girl, bring it all back here. Don't you dare walk up to the front with all of this.
Yeah.
We're just hanging out. I go to a pharmacy that's right by my house that is sort of like, you know how sometimes they're just like those, like within a neighborhood, there are those one block radiuses where for no reason they are just like avenues of chaos.
Yeah.
And it's like there's nothing about it that's different from the rest of the neighborhood. You know, I live in like a...
just stuff is happening.
Yes. Like it's just like there's always like that CVS, like there's always shit going down. Like it's the kind of CVS where you walk into and like maybe the employees are like actively like
fighting,
patching a hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Or like fighting, you know what I mean? Or like the pharmacist is like, I can't possibly fetch your prescription from the basket right now because I am. And it's like, or Nick and I always joke that like they always leave the, you know how like the time, they have the time delay safe
right.
for the good stuff. The time delay safe is always wide open, like behind the counter. Like there's just no sense of order whatsoever. And it's the same thing with the whole block. Like it's like, it's on a one-way street that people are constantly driving the wrong way down. I went there to pick up my prescription like a week ago, and these like college-aged boys got out of like, I parked my car and they parked their car maybe like 30 seconds after, and they ran out of their car to beat me going in the door so that they could like get to the pharmacy counter first.
So like they could get their vapes.
Yes, exactly. Like just very like chaotic pharmacy. So I don't relate to the problem of them not letting you check out at the pharmacy counter because at my pharmacy they're like, why don't you come back here and count the Zoloft, girl?
Yeah. why don't you just grab something from this safe? It's buy one get one. You can get your codeine, Tylenol codeine.
Yeah, exactly.
Control.
Like,
substances.
Let's all do a shot.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So we on the Patreon, on our final Patreon, talked a little bit about the new Dancing with the Stars. And at that time, I had, of course, only seen half of it. And then we stopped to record. And then I was able to watch the remaining dances that I wanted to watch after. But you have freshly watched this. So I just want to hear kind of your thoughts on this season.
Yeah, I caught up on YouTube yesterday. So what you miss on YouTube is the sort of the backstories before the dances.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the intro portion. So I'll be interested to hear about some of those. But what I did catch on YouTube was the opening number, which literally, so Franny explained it on the Patreon. And she did really good justice to it in that it's Julianne Hough and Alfonso Rivera zooming around in the spaceship, beaming up the professional dancers from various planets. That's shaped like a disco
ball, by the way.
Yes. they're beaming up the dancers from various planets as they like dance on like really, really bad green screen.
Yeah.
Things. It looks like two things. One, it looks like it costs $6. Like it looks like that morning they were like, oh shit, we haven't done an opening number yet. Let's just like everybody dance in front of the green screen and then we'll just sort of decide what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then it also looks like the Lady Gaga Stupid Love video.
Yeah.
Which came out like in the height of COVID and was presumably like produced in the height of COVID.
To me, it a little bit looks like the Tim and Eric video, Make My Bub Bubs Bounce. Like, that's the level of, like, visual editing we're getting here is Make My Bub Bubs Bounce level.
It was, like, the kind of green screen work where, like, everybody's limbs, like, weren't always
present,
like, fully there. Yeah.
Well, it's like, funny, it too, like... because, I mean, the troop stuff is so funny because, obviously, these people, we've had kind of our breakout stars. We've had Cheryl, Max, Julie, and Derek, whatever. And so it's just funny to see the troop all kind of dancing like in one like blob.
Yeah.
Like we're like removing the personality of all these, you know, Australians and Mormons. And we're it's what it's like Australians, and Mormons and Ukrainians is like those are the three pools they're able to pull from for.
I was having the same thing. It's really hard. So like when you're watching the dances, right? You're watching the celebs.
Yeah.
They make the pros look really good.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing for the pros to kind of, there are people who are noticeably better than others in the group dances.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's
the troop.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause there's the people. And I don't know if you saw this, but one of the girls, the partner of Harry, whoever, who we talked about, she is 18 and she was a pro on Dancing with the Stars Junior. And she's really, really good. But you know that there's people in the troop who are like, you know, like our age or older who are like not.
Oh, there's people in their 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it isn't. I mean, that's how when Robert Herjavec and Kim, the Australian, fell in love, she was in her 40s, I think, when she was his partner. So it is interesting.
Yeah.
It's such like an interesting profession too. And I'm like, I do kind of wonder what your options are outside of like, what's your option for like a gig versus like, you know, a competition that you win outside of Dancing with the Stars? Like how many, this is probably one of the few like semi-stable gigs you can get.
Yeah. The world of dance has always been sort of opaque to me because like a lot of people are like, I want to be a dancer. And it's like more so than any other arts thing. I'm like, literally, what job does that entail?
Right.
I can think of a couple off the top of my head. Like people who dance at football and basketball games. But those poor women mostly make almost no money.
And your career's over by the time you're like 32. So.
Right. And they all have side hustles. Or primary hustles, because they don't really get paid to do that. There are people, I don't know why my mind is going here, but like people who perform at amusement parks, but like that's like a...
Well, that's mostly high schoolers because, I think we've talked about this, of course, that my mom, when she auditioned at Kings Island, did not get in. She did not get in.
That's so funny that you're like, that's like a central trauma for.
Well, okay, but she did get
your mother to the point where you know about
it. I know about
it
because a lot of people did. Well, she had some people, she was a map girl and someone dressed as Hong Kong Phooey, who was a Hanna-Barbera character. This guy who was, he's like a dog, I think. I think he's like a karate dog.
Okay.
Came over and swiped all of her maps off of her map cart. She did go, I mean, she got her revenge because at Coney Island, she got to be the human in the Smurfs show got to sing a song called like baby smurf you're such a cute little baby smurf. But anyway, so she had friends who were in the shows and they made you weigh in before everything, like that you had to like weigh in to make sure you could quote unquote fit the costumes. That being said, it's almost all teenagers. it's like all like really like high motivated like musical theater teenagers. So that I think you're not going to get into one of those as like a 22 year old.
Okay. Yeah. You're a little bit too old to get in the game. But you can do
what your baby cousins, dance teachers did. And you can sing about your power suit or dance to your power.
Yeah. Dance to my power suit. That was so, oh my God. I hope she has another recital soon. I forgot about that. That was so fucking funny. These girls, like it was like, I don't have to re-describe it, but like the juxtaposition of like babies on stage in little bee costumes, like running around, and then these girls coming out and doing a tango to "I Did Something Bad" by Taylor Swift.
Like
so
a striptease, like a
yes,
literally
they were taking their. They were taking their gloves off and like shimmying.
Like as in the musical Gypsy, like the Gypsy
exactly.
Rose D, striptease. Where it's exactly. Like, va va voom.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You have a boa? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Yeah. So I guess that's if my daughter was a dancer. I would encourage her to go the teaching route, and then you know you get to do a sexy little tango in there too.
No, tell me about your tell me about the dances that you saw.
I watched Ariana, I watched Mauricio, I watched Harry Jowsey, I watched Charity, and I watched Jamie Lynn Spears.
Okay.
Oh, and I watched Jason Mraz.
The Mauricio intro, by the way, was him going like, "I'm Mauricio. You know me from being a real estate agent."
No, we don't.
I'm married to Kyle Richards. We're going through a rough year. And then a screenshot comes up of Mauricio and Kyle separated. And so he's like, "I'm hoping being on this show will let me take my mind off things."
Oh my God.
They like have like a Variety headline. And as Meg's mom pointed out,
was Kyle there?
Kyle was there. And Sophia, I think.
So yeah, what the fuck then?
No, like, I know, it's crazy.
They're such liars, dude.
They
like,
are
just get divorced. They're such fucking liars.
Meg's mom pointed out, yeah, the best way to like fix your marriage is by dancing with a sexy, recently divorced Australian woman.
Right. Yeah. Wait, who is his partner again?
She's the one who's married to Pasha, I think. I don't know.
Emma?
It
Wait, so
Emma,
her and Pasha got divorced?
Yeah, they're divorced, but they're still friends, I guess. His dance makes, because I watch, it's like very like funny, and Meg pointed out that it was very much like when we've watched clips of Mark Cuban on it, and Mark Cuban's like, "I'm funny." Like, that's kind of the only thing you can do. I thought Mauricio deserved to go home and not Matt Walsh.
Oh, Matt Walsh went home?
Matt Walsh went home because
that's
his dance,
so funny.
His dance, it was, basically they were, and this is why I will be like, the judges do you know what they're talking about in that they do get pissed if it's like, well, this wasn't a tango. Like, even if like the dancing was good, or they're like, well, you did a lift and there's not supposed to be a lift and like whatever this is. So, but his was that it was a cha-cha. He didn't move his hips enough. And his was that it was to "That Girl Is Poison." And he was the dancer, Coco, I think is her name. She's pretty new, is a poisonous snake, and he's like the like garbage man poisonous snake collector who goes to pick her up.
No.
Yeah,
just do something normal. Like,
I know, don't be funny.
Mauricio does not know what to do with his body.
No,
but he was giving face, and
that,
and
that
I
is what he was doing. He was trying.
Yes, he was trying, and I did not. If I'm being real, I did not expect him to try.
Yeah.
But
he's taking his mind off things, though, so he needs
to. Exactly. Yeah, he needs to pour himself into it. I mean, this all of this being said, if I went out there, I would look like Mauricio, 100%. Like,
yeah.
I would be similarly, like, collapsed in the shoulders, like, unable to, you know, move my body around. I will say, Ariana, Vanderpump Rules, obviously.
I love me. Yeah, I love myself, and I don't need any. She did bad face work, I thought, when she like came up and was
I think that one, I was not even paying attention to the face work in that part because I was so thrilled by the fact that they recreated the back bar
for
from
Sir.
And it wasn't, and it was specific to the back bar, which I loved. I was like a fan. One of us like made this.
Yeah.
the back bar from Sir. Very, very, very fun. And she was serving with the body work. She definitely was a little bit all over the place, but like
she was a little stiff. Us would be.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she got floppy in parts, but she looked overall, she was on the beat and she looked really good. So I was very impressed.
She looked pretty good. What was the worst dance you saw? Jamie?
Probably Mauricio or Jamie.
Jamie, I just
Mauricio
felt bad
looked
for.
Really bad.
Yeah. Jamie, though, you could tell that they were like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and
yeah.
Just so, you know what I mean.
That was cringy.
She got to get to my most memorable year, though. She has to get to it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She's going to be like, when we filmed the reality TV show episode of Zoe 101, yeah. where Chase confesses his feelings to Zoe, but then his phone falls in the fountain. She'll be on long yeah. enough for them to get some
personally,
Britney tea. It's so sad. I find it so, so, so incredibly dark. Like, that is just not fun at all, in my opinion.
I guess I don't know other than her situation. Just her getting pregnant, how young she was.
Oh, just her and that and the Spears family in general.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that all of their pain is like
publicized
out in the open. Yeah, like just from like it's very clear that both of those young women were cast adrift by their parents mm-hmm. and really not
cared for,
not protected from anything. And it's real, like, and the fact that she had to be like a famous pregnant teenager is like, it's just the whole thing is devastating. And like the clear mental illness that Britney is going through and the fact that it's so public and that Jamie, like in order to make money, is being pressured to like talk about it. Like the whole, it's just like, so like,
yeah, it's
I wish dark. That she could have lived a life. I wish that both her and Britney could have lived a life where they stayed in Louisiana and were like dance teachers and had like normal ass husbands and like people just
suit.
Treated them with respect.
Yeah.
It's such a good show. And there's something about it that is just so, so pleasurable. And I think you pointed out, you touched on something at the beginning that was very real, I think, to the long-term success of the show, which is that the judging feels very real.
Exactly.
Like whenever they start to talk about things like that I don't really understand as a non-dancer, I'm like, oh, fun.
Yeah. And I think too, like what I've noticed is I will get really annoyed with Derek because I think Derek is either too positive or he'll try to be too positive and then he'll be really mean. And it's like, you're being false. But when they give their scores, they're almost always all have the same scores. So it shows you that their internal rubric that they're working from is like very solid and they do know what they're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I hope that one day I get to see Derek in the breakfast area of a hotel again.
Oh my gosh. With his fiance.
Yeah. Yeah. They were, I'll be real. They were really nice.
Yeah.
He wasn't mean to my mom.
No. He was nice to your mom, so that's all you need.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it when we first talked very early in our Patreon when we talked about Dancing with the Stars? There was some video of Derek that we talked about, but I forget what it was. It was some like sponsored ad video of Derek, and it was like dancing. It was like during COVID. You guys will have to re-listen to this.
Oh, yeah. All I remember is reading an article very early in COVID that was like, Derek Hough, what I eat in a day. And literally every single meal was chicken breast. And I was like, this is
like not necessary.
So
to
dark.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm like, we get it. Yeah.
We understand.
Like, I didn't need to read this. I only want to read your what I eat in a day if it's like, I'm really rich and every single night I go to a fabulous restaurant.
Or if you're the thing with Anna Wintour where she has her full fat latte every day, which I was like,
yes,
this made
and
me
then
feel
a
old.
Steak and
she, everyone in the comments was like, full fat for real? Who drinks full fat or who drinks whole milk lattes in 2023? I was like, I do.
Me.
Yeah.
Gotta get that protein.
Women drink.
It's good for you. You know what? You know what? Oat milk is full of fucking seed oils, dude. Right. Exactly. You're all seed, baby. Yeah, exactly. Why don't you just fucking take some canola oil and dump it on your oatmeal if you want
that
bad?
I have a very healthy diet of seed oils, PUFAs, and whole milk. So I'm kind of getting all three. I will say, though, yeah, the oatmeal, the Trader Joe's oat milk, I tried to drink it straight because I had some Oreos and it was so gross. It was so oily.
Disgusting.
So, yeah.
That's disgusting. It's... I'll take my my special dairy milk that I have to buy. And I have to bring... See, also, my dairy milk is sustainable. I have a glass bottle that I bring to the grocery store by my house, and they swap it out for another glass bottle. Exactly. The milkman comes to my house. We get it on.
You got your MILF money.
Exactly.
That came out in Shuffle the other day, and I was like, you know what? Fergie kind of did it with this one. That was kind of a good song.
Absolute crazy that you have that just in your library.
To give it to you. Well, because I was listening to, like, it goes back to... Now you can do, like, replays of, like, back until, like, 2015, which is, I guess, when I first got Apple Music. And that was on my 2016 replay, I think.
Okay.
It's just, like, such a, like, disgusting time capsule of... Here, I was seeing if I could pull up what my replay was from 2015. Like,
really,
I got a lot of, like,
period.
Yeah. It's, like, Uma Thurman, Fall Out Boy.
Uma Thurman?
That's the one's, like, I can't move, Matt. And it, like, samples, like, the...
I thought you meant a song by Uma Thurman. And I'm
that
like,
would be
what?
Crazy.
I'm like, should
even though I did get a notification, it was like Samia new release, and it was like Samia and Maya Hawk collaboration.
Disgusting. No,
I'm not listening to that. Along with MILF Money, I mean, this is very in a similar vibe. E.T. featuring Kanye West was also on my 2016
That's a good one.
Replay. And then this is the something about the boy. That's a Lil Mix one.
Oh, I like Lil Mix.
That's a good one.
Yeah, before we get into it, I do just want to share, I am not this week, but next week, I am going to Universal Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh my God.
So if anybody has any recommendations or...
What are the houses there?
So that's why I'm absolutely thrilled to go. They have this one that I'm like really dying to go to called like Universal House of Villains, where it's like... villains from various Universal properties, and it's such an like a crazy choice, like it's such a crazy group of goons. It's the Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
It's the Invisible Man.
Okay, so they're going like the new Invisible Man or the old one?
The new one.
Well, also,
like,
you can't see him. That's
exactly
the thing.
So that's like the Invisible Man, the Phantom of the Opera, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and then somebody else.
Same person.
Yeah, exactly. So only one person.
It's got to be like someone modern.
It's like, it is. It's something really funny. I have to...
Like some Blumhouse property.
Exactly. It literally is.
The guy from Insidious.
Yeah, like I have to find this. Hold on.
That kind of reminds me too of like, do you remember Mickey's House of Villains? This was like some direct-to-DVD.
Yes.
That scared the shit out
yes.
of me.
Yes. Terrifying as fuck. That shit was so scary. Okay, hold on. Haunted houses. That's who it was. The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, so these are like not even their like, this is like their C-tier property. Like, where's like, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Dracula, Frankenstein? Like, they're not even like pulling
exactly.
out the stops. Also, isn't Hunchback like nice? He's like not an incel.
Not in this picture I'm looking at, honey. And then they also have a Chucky one. I'll be real. I think the same thing will happen the last time I went to like a haunted, like a Halloween haunt, is that I will do one maze and then I will be so fucking exhausted from how terrified I was that I will sit on a bench and eat hot dogs while everybody else
goes into
the rest of the night.
Yeah.
The thing is, I would be able to do multiple if you weren't liable to be scared in the rest of the park too.
Right.
Like,
I need to know where
I'm safe and where I'm not. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I need like a red light, green light type thing.
Yeah. The Chucky one, I mean, I was so scared of Chucky as a child, but now I understand that he's just kind of like being funny. He's a doll.
Yeah, I don't think I'm afraid of Chucky, so I'll definitely go in that one.
Yeah.
But it's like, the thing is, like, I'll always be afraid of a jump scare. I'll know that Nick is about to jump out of me in our house, and I'll still get scared when he eventually does it.
I had to, like, tell my, like, my brother always does that to me, and it freaks me out. It has given me, like, true, like, when I go downstairs, because, like, at my parents' house, you have to kind of, like, walk through this hallway right before the kitchen. You can either come to the kitchen through this little hallway or, like, the dining room. And, like, he would always hide, like, behind this kitchen wall and jump out of me. Yeah. And I'm like, I could be carrying...
classic little brother stuff.
Like, a hot coffee. I could be carrying, like, 7 glasses of water. Like, you don't know what I'm carrying. I always want to be like, what if I died? Like, what if, like, I slept on...
I'm always,
on,
like, I genuinely am like worried I'm going to have, like, a cardiac episode. Yes. Yeah. Like, that's my fear. Okay. Let's
get into it.
Let's get into it. It's been 35 minutes up top. Sorry, guys. We're at the end of our run. We can do whatever we want. Camden, don't even put a timestamp on this.
Yeah, they can deal.
People can fucking deal with it. If you want to be here, you want to be here. If you don't, you don't. I'm Abby Lee Miller. Nobody's forcing me to be here.
Except for the crew of Dance Moms.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wait, okay, we haven't even talked about this. I mean, maybe we will have to come back and drop a little one for the villains on the new Bravo Villains show, where it's like Jax...
Oh,
and Fisa.
We'll definitely have to come back and do. I have a feeling, guys, / Franny, like, we're gonna be back, like,
right,
once a
yeah
month.
We'll be back. It just won't be as consistent. It'll kind of be more like what we want to talk about. So that's okay.
Exactly. We're not timestamping.
No, we're not timestamping it. So this week we revisited.
Yeah, we will have to come back and talk about House of Villains.
We revisited the Click. Of course, what kicked us off. And I have to say, during my reread of it, the first thing is that I have after reading so many YA books that were so, so bad, I really have an appreciation for Lisey's writing here. The fact that this book is readable, it moves at a clip that is, you know, maintains my interest,
mm-hmm.
is a lot harder to do than one would think from the books that we've read. And then the other thing is,
definitely,
I don't even remember if we talked about this on this specific, you know, line in the first episode that we did, but I feel reaffirmed in my idea that reading the Click makes you bisexual and that the Click is gay, because listen to this. This is right at the end. Massey and Claire faced each other. Even though they had just talked for hours, they were both speechless. Claire wondered if this was what the awkward "is he going to kiss me goodnight" moment at the end of the date was like.
Wow. Yeah.
If it was, she hoped she'd never be in a position to find out. I'm like, you gay. So I feel reaffirmed in that.
Wow. Yeah. No, I do too. That's, that was something that I was thinking about heavily, is like what the... if the original thesis holds up, and it certainly does. Like, you know, now that we've been on this journey for almost 4 years of reading book after book after book, like, something that sticks with me is how natural a lot of this book feels. And it's not writing into a trend. It's not writing into a tradition. It's kind of like, you know, obviously the IP came first from Alloy, but the, not the IP, but like the pitch, like the one line. And like, this book exists as a true, like, capturing of something that Lisey wanted to say, for better or for worse. And because it is so authentic, it is very readable in that way. Like, you cannot, this book, even after all of the things that we've read, coming back to the Click reaffirms that the Click was the proper arena to sort of center this podcast around, because it is so unique and so authentic.
Yeah, and I think, you know, out of the main series we read, the Click, Gossip Girl, and Pretty Little Liars, I mean, the Click and Pretty Little Liars, as much as, you know, later books in the Pretty Little Liars series kind of got off track, like, though, they are just really, really good YA books, and that is something that we did not experience a ton of. I mean, other writers that we really liked were like Meg Cabot, like Gail Carson Levine, but we also had our flops.
Yeah,
famously, you really did not like We Were Liars. I think I liked it. Gossip Girl was so bad. Gossip Girl Now, that is a book that if I saw my child reading, I would rip it from their hands, because there's like no morals. There's no moral lesson to be taught.
Because I'm like, you're not smart if you're reading Gossip Girl. Like, how is this stimulating to you at all? Those books were nothing about. The first book hooked me. Starting with the second book, those books were so incredibly boring.
They were such a slog, and they were like the shortest of like what we'd read.
So hard to read.
Like, they were like not even that long comparatively. Yeah. So what were some other like highlights of books we read on the pod? Or lowlights.
I love Meg Cabot.
She doesn't miss. No.
Fuck it up. Airhead. I think about Airhead all of the time. Airhead is a fantastic, really, really fun and interesting book, top to bottom. Airhead, I think about
like some of the Judy Blooms, like Forever, like,
yeah,
that's like another author who like, and we didn't even get to read all of hers, but she is another person who they're just like very readable. Like a good YA book means meeting a child at their level. And I think that she does that very well.
Yeah. I'm also reminded of, I was having this conversation. So last Friday I went to a party, for a friend's birthday, and it was a surprise party for him that his partner was throwing. And, so there were a lot of his friends from undergrad there. Shout out to him. He's a listener. I won't out you, but, before you got to your party, I had a great conversation with some of your friends from undergrad. But one of the girls that I was talking to for a while, she like brought up the click, and sort of all of my friends like started laughing because like, you know, they know that we do this podcast. And so they were like, oh, haha. And I was like, and she was like, why are you laughing? And I was like, oh, because you know, I do this podcast that I'm actually ending right now about, like YA lit. And we all started talking about the connection between Stephanie Meyer and Colleen Hoover, and how those two writing styles felt very similar, and how it was so fun and I can't believe I've come out of this like as like a Colleen Hoover like defender. And how exciting those books are to read. Something about those super comfortable, super like they're comfortable and they're exciting because they are so fictional. They're so not of this world at all. Like, they're so unbelievable. They're detached from any morals,
I would say.
And it's really fun. And Twilight also is that fun moment. It's like, you know that it's not good,
right?
But it's exciting to read, and the voice is keeping you in there. And in a lot of ways, I was thinking about like bad, quote unquote, bad TV shows that I really love, like The Morning Show, or like any like sort of soapy show, like Suits. I've been watching Suits. Like, and there's something so fun and so relieving about being in those worlds that are so clearly artificial and so clearly cinematic, that actually brings like some of the point of reading in the original like life sense.
Yeah. And I think
if that makes sense, like the idea of getting outside oneself for non-serious purposes.
And I think one thing with that is like, you know, we talk about like the Colleen Hoover and even like, you know, the cliques of the world where there's like a lot of them and they all put you in this world. Like, you know, what is like the top rated show on TV? It's like NCIS, right? Or like these shows that,
right,
as kind of a, maybe people who being in the culture of like a liberally arts educated, you know, young person, like with a certain kind of cultural leaning, we are, I think, kind of taught to dismiss those types of shows. But now, of course, we had talked about Law and Order SVU, which of course I did not. I thought those cases, I did not realize until very recently that they were all sex crimes. I just thought that they were like special Like, there's something crazy about this page of SVU. But we are taught to, yeah.
It is very weird. As a side note, it is very weird. Like, special victims units are, like that's what it, yeah. The sex crime units are called in prosecutor's office. And it is, like, weird when you deal with them. They're like, yeah, I'm from the special victims unit. I'm like, can't we, isn't it 2023? Can we just say sex crimes? Right. Like, that's what
well, that's and that's about. Why it was so confusing to me. And it's also like, okay, spoiler, sex is going to be involved one way or other. I think sometimes they really have to shoehorn it in there. But those types of shows that these, they go on for so long. And it's like every story, I think the more that I've read and the more that I've kind of seen, it's like a lot of good art is based around like these very repeatable cliches and stuff. Or not good art necessarily, but mm-hmm. it might not be like new, but like there is a lot of value in having these like comfortable tropes that we revisit and we like flip around a little bit like that. There's comfort. And I'm always guided back to like in college, like in my like, you know, intro to media class, like talking about high art and low art. And like my professor would like put this thing up on the screen. It's like, say if this is high art or low art. And the things that people said were high art or low art was like, they would come up in the same thing. Like one person would say this is high art, one person would say it was low art. And like, so I think,
right.
I think it's good to be able to, like, this podcast has maybe forced me to like broaden my mind a little bit into that like mass market.
Sure.
But and not feel as superior yeah. to it, I guess, as I would. And
no.
And yeah. And, like, and I think the backlash, I do think a lot of the backlash against Colleen Hoover is that she's a woman. Yeah. I have not read that one book. But from my readings of it, it's kind of a bad faith reading of it, as she herself was in a domestic yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I feel like that was kind of a bad faith reading of that one book, but.
But also, like, the other thing that I feel like has become a recurring theme for us, at least for me, is, like books are
yeah.
fake. Books are something that, more so than other media, are safe spaces to drop in and out of things that you might or might not be safe mm-hmm. topics for you. Places to experiment. The boundaries of what's safe. Like, you know, I feel like something we've talked about a lot when we talk about sex in books is like, it's a very safe space for young people to learn about sex in frank ways, because, you know, it's like, it's scary as a child to see yeah. images, like sexual images that like you are not necessarily ready to see. But, you know, if you read about it, you can kind
of conceptualize a little more.
You have this. Yeah. And there's also this option to sort of opt in and out. And like, I remember specifically as a child, like picking up certain books where there was sex and being like, oh, I'm not ready. Like,
I'm not ready for this. Yeah.
Yeah. And not consciously that, but like this is making me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something too, like as the main book discussion kind of like unfortunately like picks up heat again, it's a little bit of like not treating, we have to give children the ability and benefit of the doubt when it comes to like, I guess, like learning and expanding their learning, and books are like a good way to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, this is something, it's like, we yeah. need to like let children, we need to give them the agency to read whatever they want, basically. And, you know, at a certain, like if you're in a middle school yeah. library, I see no reason. Yeah, within limits. Yeah. In a middle school library, there's no reason why any book should necessarily be limited. Like if you can go to the regular, do you know what I mean? And it's like,
right.
I think, unfortunately, yeah. like, I also think that like writing is one of the things that it's such a singular thing. It's such a singular voice. And anyone can interpret it, whatever, like that. We have all these kind of ideas of like authorship and all these discussions that are maybe less applicable in the movie and TV world, because those are like by nature, like very collaborative things, even though you obviously like have an editor with a book and right. stuff. But that is kind of a little bit of the magic of these books, is that you can read it however way you want, and it right. can change from reading to reading. And so like, yeah, it's just, I mean, it has in some ways, like this podcast, like a lot of times it would be a slog to like get through some of these books. But then once in a while, I would read a book and I'd be like, wow, I'm like really enjoying this. Because, yeah, like it's, even though yeah. we love reading and we loved and love doing this podcast, like it is work, right? Like this is like, you know, it's work. Mm-hmm.
Reading yeah. is, reading takes time. Yeah. Like that's the thing too, is like, there's no way to, There's no way to cheat.
No, you can't.
Reading. It takes as much time as it takes
and
you.
So I think, you know, leaving this pod behind to an extent, I think something that I'm really excited to get back to is like reading for myself, because really I haven't been able to do that like consistently in a while, because it would always be like another book I have to pick up. And I'm excited to get back into that. And I don't know, it's reading the YA. It's interesting. I think I came into this pod thinking I came in really wanting to do a comedy podcast. And obviously I think it's funny, but
obviously it's funny.
Cultural discussions that we've had through this have been really, it's been interesting, the types of discussions that these books have sparked.
No, I think that that's very well said. I don't know if I have anything to add to that. It's just very, to take a journey through these books and to have the opportunity to sort of sink our teeth in to the teaching, you know, in a lot of situations, the you know, unintentional mm-hmm. teaching elements and the unintentional ways that they the books induct specifically young women into adulthood, to be able to look back on that with like fresh, educated, mm-hmm. older, more mature eyes is very, very interesting, to have the opportunity to feel some of those things where it's like, oh, that's where I got that thing from. Or like, isn't this a weird construct that I didn't pull at the time? And how did that affect my brain? And it's just been a, you know,
a learning experience
top to bottom.
And I think too, like rereading The Click now after doing this podcast for 4 years, I was a lot more willing to kind of give Lisi her props in terms of some of the stuff that at the beginning we were like, well, you know, the way that, and I guess I still agree with this, like some of the ways that like Dylan is portrayed, for example, like can a child like take those apart? Yeah. But I am also willing to be like, well, maybe sometimes children can. Do you know what I mean? I was a lot more willing to give this a deeper reading and give her a little more credit. And as some of that I'm sure is like having had conversations with her and knowing her now. But I think in general, this doing this podcast has also, it's just helped me, I think, be a little more generous in my readings of stuff, which definitely. I think is good for me.
Yeah, that's one of my goals in life in general at this juncture, is to just like approach everything, approach all information and just people in general mm-hmm, with generosity mm-hmm. because it just doesn't, it's very rare that approaching something with generosity will do you dirty.
Yeah. I think also like,
and that's getting older too.
Yeah. That's the other thing I was going to say is like, I found myself throughout this podcast become a much to myself, I think, not that I was like, I thought that I was mean necessarily.
You
but
were horrible
I was
when we
so,
started.
I was
let's
such
be
a
honest.
Bitch. I was such
you
a
were
bitch.
Fucking, you were so
Everyone
mean.
Hated me. But I, you know, came into this podcast really wanting to like, do like be comedic about it. And I think not only did COVID happen, and COVID like made me give a lot less humor to some things, like COVID just kind of like numbed me out a little bit on some aspects of comedy personally, just because of the worldwide suffering. I don't know. And I started to feel like, you know, obviously humor is important, but I did not feel as motivated to do it. But I think also like it is interesting. I do think we're kind of at a point in our lives where when we started this, we were 22. Straight out of college.
That's so crazy.
Now
I'm still 22. What are you talking about?
I know in my mind I am 22, but now literally being like 26, closer to 30 than 20. I think I'm killing myself, dude. It's a little bit of a time capsule because I think we have learned a lot, and
oh yeah,
it's not going to be as funny to approach things anymore. Do you know what I mean? We can't make fun of these YA books as much because we're like, well, whatever. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like in a lot of ways, though, I feel like, because I'm somebody, obviously, and I think you're the same way, like I'm obsessed with sort of like thinking and like thinking about myself.
I'm obsessed
and
with looking in the mirror.
Like tracking my own I'm obsessed.
And that's why we love this podcast, because we can look at ourselves while we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at ourselves the whole time. I am very interested in tracking my own growth. And I feel like that time in which we started this, that time in my life, 22, graduated college 6 months earlier, in my first sort of professional job, even though, you know, like...
RIP the Wang.
Yeah, that's all we have. That's that on that. But like, I feel like there was, at least for me in that time, I had this feeling of being like this full version of myself. And I think I very understandably like lost that. Like, I felt more socially isolated at the time when we started this podcast than actually I feel like I did during COVID, just because of like having, you know, working all of the time. And like, I think back on that period, like Nick and I talked about it recently, and I was like, I don't even remember like what we would do. Like, I remember working really late at night and then coming home, and I'm like, so you would have been home from work for several hours at that point. Like, what were we doing? Like, what was our life? Like, I don't remember that period between college and COVID super well, because I was just like working all of the time, and I don't remember sort of like the life then. And I feel like I was having this like pressure on myself to like, what am I? What am I going to do? And I just, like, looking back on it, I was just very queer. I was, like, depressed. And not to say that, like, you know, I'm not depressed now. Yeah. But, like, sort of a less managed depression. And recently, not recently, but in the last, like, 2 years, I've really feel like I've returned to... Like, and I feel like I sort of shrunk in on the world, and it was easy to during COVID to be very sort of like, I was really focused on like external things. Like, while shrinking into myself, I was focused on external things. Like, am I a good person? Is my life okay? Is it okay for me to like live in the world in this way? And now I just feel like I've returned to so much of my self that was like gone during that period, where I just am like, I feel this sense, I feel younger than I did back then. This has all been like a long way of saying that. Like,
I get it. I think doing this too has helped. It's helped me grow a little bit. I mean, when I first got out of college, and I still miss this a lot, but you know, I was like, if I don't like get like a sketch comedy job, like I'm not worthy of anything.
Which, what is a sketch like, comedy funny. Job is the know, immediate question that comes to mind. Like
a freebie original, then like what is my life? So I don't know. I think it's interesting because I still have, even now, as like having made this successful podcast, you know, pretty successful, and like doing all this stuff, like I still will have these doubts about being funny enough, being creative enough, all this stuff. And so I think I just maybe have more of an adult perspective now.
Yeah, like, definitely.
What my creativeness can be. And two, like, I mean, I feel like I should be proud of what we did, because we connected with Lisi. That was great. We had characters in a book named after us. Like, that's crazy. We had people from my favorite podcasts on.
We made a lot of really cool friends. Like,
and it's been,
and
all of you guys.
Yeah. Like, I think about, I was literally just sitting here thinking about just so many amazing people to, that we've gotten to connect with. Like, I was, when I brought up Halloween Horror Nights, I was thinking of Kira from, the Zillennial Canon podcast, and Sean from Seltzer Cast, and like all of these people who just like never, you know, the amazing women who I love so dearly from the Dolls of Our Lives, formerly the American Girl Doll podcast. Like,
absolutely.
People who are such amazing people. You know, Lindsay Kaytai was like such an important part of, she was such an amazing person to talk to, and has been so generous with us. Like, I don't know, just the opportunity to meet all of those people and you guys, yeah, and to have this sort of like
really cool women specifically. Yes, I mean, obviously thank you men as well. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you men. But I think seeing people like Dolls of Our Lives, girls like Lindsay, and then like, you know, Kira is our age and stuff.
Yeah.
But so I think specifically, which, and she's amazing, but like seeing like these older women, you know, women in their 30s and being like, yeah, oh, okay, like that's like, these are people that I can be like too one day, you know, it makes me tear up because like, those are people who I like really admire. And the fact that we got to, you know, talk with them is crazy.
Yeah.
And they lent us our time. It's very insane.
Yeah. And you guys lent us your time.
Yeah.
And that's been really cool that you guys lent us all that time. I mean, I don't want to get too sentimental here because even if Franny doesn't want to join me,
we will be back with House of Villains.
Yeah, I will be here talking about House of Villains. It might be a 24-hour episode. You don't know. You might be wishing.
I think we should do some live streams because I need to talk about Aunt Fisa.
It would be really fun to do Zooms.
God, Sophie, Golden Bachelor.
Yeah.
Golden Bachelor comes out tonight.
Nick is going to a concert and I'm not going with him so that I can come home, make myself a martini, eat a burger, and watch The Golden Bachelor. Like,
with The Golden Bachelor.
Yeah. I'm going to like smoke a cigarette inside while watching The Golden Bachelor. Like, full.
You're going to age yourself too.
Exactly.
Age your lungs too.
Literally.
The Bachelor.
That being said, thank you, especially, okay, so special last shout outs to the people we always shout out, but the people at Frolic, you guys are the best.
Thank you, Frolic.
All of our Frolic sorority sisters, you guys are the best. Those of you who we got to connect with was always nothing but learning and fun and pleasure. You guys rock. The good people at Leggy for lending us Girls Like Us is the theme song, an incredible song that I constantly, people are asking us, what is that song at the beginning? And I'm like, well, if you listen to the end, you would know it's by Leggy. And obviously Camden, who
talented Leggy.
Yeah. Camden, who listened to this podcast at the kind of with the kind of critical attention that nobody should have had to listen to it with. We appreciate everyone so much. And I swear to God, this is going to be so dramatic because like 3 weeks from now, we're going to be back talking about House of Villains.
Yeah.
And I will have already.
So don't take it too seriously. We're just not going to be reading for you probably anymore. And that's great.
But signing off for the last time, we love you guys.
All right. Bye, y'all. We love you.
Bye.